Hopefully by now you know exactly what section of scripture we're in, just probably now that you're all used to it and ready to turn there, and then we're stopping. That's just the way it goes. That's the way it works. So we're in this section of scripture, really covers about 4 hours of the life of Jesus, and we're only covering parts of it this year, and hopefully next year around the same time, Lord willing, we're going to pick that up again. Remember chapter 13, verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the very end. That's what we've been talking about. Just all the things that Jesus is telling them, making sure they understand how much they are loved, make sure they are prepared, because today is really about him preparing them for what's coming up. And I'm just going to tell you, this is going to be one of those messages where we're like, wow, really? Could we skip this part? I'd like to, but we just can't, okay? We need to understand the world in which we live. We need to understand what it is like. So remember, there's the sermon beginning, the Sermon on the Mount. This is the sermon at the end. And last week was all about, are you guarding the Word of God in your life? Are you guarding that? Are you protecting that? And that's just an incredible study, this whole idea of keeping his commands, guarding, protecting them. Are you letting lies in to tell you, did God really say that? Did God really say that's true? So that you're doubting his goodness. So you're doubting his promises. So you're doubting his truth. That was so much of where we were last week. And you can go back to YouTube and watch it and follow along if you missed that part. So this is why I mean this is tough. Jesus is going to prepare them, prepare us, for a world that is not going to love us, like us. And what I want you to understand, and even though we live in a country that does not experience this to a wide variety of degree because of the freedoms that were in place for the last so many years since the founding of our country in 1776, but you need to know this. Followers of Jesus have always, and I would underline that, always faced persecution. Always. And you're like, I signed up for persecution. Nobody told me that, okay? Nobody told me that. Pray this prayer, follow Jesus, right? It's going to be awesome. What? No. I don't know if I want that. And that's why this is going to be hard and challenging, because we don't live in the culture I'm about to explain, except we see some things that you kind of wonder, is it going to end up that way? And what you need to know is Jesus is going to prepare us for that. He's going to prepare his followers for that. And that followers of Jesus has always, at some point, in some location of the world, have always faced persecution. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this. This is from 2021. This was written in Forbes magazine. I don't know if you know this or not. Forbes is just not a magazine that talks about persecution, okay? It wants to talk about money and finance and what to do. But it reported on this. And so in 2021, this is the stats they learned. On average, every day, every single day, so when you average out for the year, every single day, 13 Christians are killed for their faith. 13 Christians are killed for their faith every day. 12 churches or Christian buildings are attacked every day, every single day, every single day. 12 Christians are unjustly arrested, detained, or imprisoned. 5 Christians are abducted for faith-related reasons. In other words, they're kidnapped. They are stolen away. You're not going to have anything to do in our tribe and in our location. And they are kidnapped, taken away. And this happens all over the place in the world. We don't see it, and because we don't watch the nightly news, because the nightly news is not going to cover this. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't care if you're watching Fox. I don't care what you're watching. CNN. I don't care. Nobody talking about it. Nobody talking about it. In other words, when the producers come to like persecution of Christians around the world, nah, we don't want to talk about that. Who wants to talk about that? We'll talk about other things. We'll talk about earthquakes and famines and all sorts of things. We'll talk about military unrest in different locations. But this just isn't news. So most of us just don't have a context for understanding that this is what's going on in our world. And again, because it doesn't happen here. I mean, when's the last time? I realized this was an incredible week. Okay, that the prayer team and the text were just beeping every day. I didn't get one that said, hey, pray for so-and-so. They just got arrested for being a Christian. We didn't get that text this week. It did happen in lots of other places of the world, and that's what I want you to understand. And Jesus, in this section, is going to prepare his followers and ultimately prepare us that this might be the reality you live in. This might be where you go. This might be where you're at, that this could happen. And I want you to be, Jesus would say, prepared for it. Prepared for it. Not to think something's unusual. Okay? We just sang a great song about the goodness of God. And now we're going to get into an area you're going to say, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if God's good. I don't know if God's good if that's going on. I don't know if God's good if that is taking place. And you're going to wrestle with this idea that God is good in spite of how a world could be treating his followers. And you're going to wrestle with that. That's okay. Wrestle with that. But understand, God is good in spite of what we face and what we go through. And we declared that together. It was awesome to do that. So we're going to be in John 15, 18 through 23. I'm going to bring in some other scriptures this morning. And again, this is not something we talk about. It's just not something we refer to over and over again. But this is really important for us to understand that this is happening to our brothers and sisters all over the place. And there is no kind of guarantee from God this won't happen in our own nation at some point. There's no guarantee of that. We'd like there to be, but there is no guarantee of that. So he's preparing us for that. Here we go. If the world hates you, be aware it hated me first. It hated me first. How do we know that? They crucified Jesus, okay? How do you know it hated him? That's why. We have proof. That was the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire continued. Do you know, okay? Judas leaves because he betrayed Jesus. You have 11 guys left. We'll just take those 11. All of them but one faced a martyr's death. And John faced all sorts of different things, including getting exiled onto an island for his faith. He's the only one that died a natural death. Every single one of them, beheaded, crucified upside down, stoned. You can read all the stories about what's going on with them. What happened to those original followers. And you're like, gosh, how did they make it through? Well, guess what? Jesus is warning them right here. This is going to happen to you. Beware, this is going to happen to you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. The whole, when it talks about the world, understand it means the system of the world. The system of the world. And what you need to know is the system that saw Jesus crucified was the religious leaders of people who claimed to follow God. That's what you need to know, okay? These are individuals who claimed to follow God. They claimed, oh, we know. We have all these oral traditions on top of oral traditions on top of oral traditions. And yet they crucified the very Son of God and saw over his death. So when it talks about world, it means world system. And sometimes those world systems say they're following God. Talk a good talk. Maybe at times even have scriptures to back them up. Caiaphas the priest in the book of John, you ought to read this part where he said, hey, it's better one die for the people. And there's just story after story of all these different things that happened and took place. So as we're talking about the system of the world, if you're going to push against the system of this world, system of this world doesn't like it. And so it will push back at different points, at different times, in different locations. However, because you do not belong to the world, Jesus says, but I chose you out of this world. That's why it's really important understanding we are loved. We are chosen by God. We have been saved. That's why all of that's really important because Jesus says, I chose you out of the world. For this reason, the world hates you. Because you're just not following along, doing everything that everybody else is doing. You're following Jesus. And that should make a distinction in your life from everybody else. And they don't look at your life and go, wow, isn't that cool? They look at life and go, I don't like that. I don't like that they're doing that. That makes me look bad. That makes me look bad. That shadows a bad thing against me. So it says what? That whole world system, that's just going to hate you. Remember what I told you, Jesus says, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now, this is very simple. Okay, and Jesus says, if they obey my words, they will obey yours too. So that's the two type of people you are going to run into. People who are open to the gospel, will follow the gospel, will trust Jesus, and people who won't. People have nothing to do with it. I got another plan. I got another way. I got another thing I'm trusting in and belonging to. They might say things like, oh, I believe there's lots of different ways. Can't be just one. There's lots of different ways. But there'll be a distinction whether they obey and follow Jesus or they'll look and say, nah, we don't believe that. we don't follow that. So we will be treated the same way Jesus was because we follow him. See, we don't talk about this too much, do we? Right? This would make people go, if I'm following a murdered Savior, I don't like what that means, right? That's why we probably don't talk about this enough. Plus, on top of that, again, we live in a country where we deal with this on a daily basis, where it might cost you all sorts of different things because you follow Jesus. Doesn't mean it won't someday, but it means our brothers and sisters around the world in different locations, they deal with this all the time, and they're being treated the same way Jesus was because they follow him. I want you to see what Peter wrote. Peter wrote this: don't be astonished that a trial by fire is occurring among you. He's like, don't be surprised. Don't be going, what's wrong? Did I do something wrong? Am I not following the right way? Am I not reading enough devotions? Am I not praying enough? Is there something wrong that I'm doing because of all this stuff I'm facing in my life? And he's like, I don't want you to be surprised. In fact, watch what he says next. It's occurring among you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. Rejoice. Now you're going to think this is really weird, right? This is even better than just endure it. Oh, I guess this is my season. Rejoice that it's happening to you. And that's, by the way, that's what the early followers did. I want you to see this in the book of Acts. They expected, the disciples expected it. So they left the council. This is, they left the council after they've been warned over and over again. By the way, these are these Jewish leaders again who all voted, other than Nicodemus, right, and Joseph of Arimathea, to condemn Jesus to death. They all went that way. They all went that direction. That's that same council. What are they doing? So they left the council. They've been threatened. They've been told, stop it, knock it off. So they left the council doing what? Oh, man, did Jesus say it was really going to be this hard? No. They left rejoicing because they had been considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. This is a whole new category. This is not just endure it, not just hope it will change when the calendar flips another month. This is, I want you to rejoice in it. I want you to know the joy that I have and I will put into your life that you are suffering for my name, for my sake. Not for doing wrong, not for doing evil. You're suffering for doing the right thing. Man, that's hard. Come on, we can just admit it this morning. That's hard. That's hard to say. On top of just enduring it, we need to rejoice in it, knowing that we are following God, and this is just a world gone mad that at times push against the things of God. But, Jesus continues, they will do all these things on account of my name because they do not know the one who sent me. This is really important. This goes to something else we were singing this morning as well. Do you understand we are secure during seasons of persecution because we are a beloved child of God? That's why it was so important what we sang this morning. I know it's hard to translate that word, but beloved's really the best way. It's almost the best way just to say that that's who we are. And he says, but you're mine. And I don't want you to think that what you're going through is a reflection of any of the way I think about you. I love you. I created you. You're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I know you might doubt that right now because of this season that you are in. I know you might struggle with that right now because of that season, but I want you to be secure in that. It's like Jesus goes, they don't know my father. Just understand, they don't know my father. They might talk about him. They might say they have his laws. They do not know my father. I want you to know me. You will know the father. And I want you to be secure in what you're going through. You're my child. You're my child. That's why identity is so important. Why are you a beloved son or a beloved child of God? Why? How would you answer that? We sat down for coffee and I said, how do you know you're a beloved son? Well, I go to church. Doesn't that count? No. Well, I try to read my Bible every day, you know, off and on. No. What does it matter? I've put my faith and trust in Jesus. I've been adopted then into his family. I've been adopted into his family. So now I'm beloved son, beloved daughter. And God just doesn't look and say, oh, it's Monday. I don't know. You really messed up bad. I think you're out. I think you're out. Try again. He doesn't do that. Nope. I want you to understand who you are, because if you understood your belovedness, your beloved son, your beloved daughter, it would change everything about the way you live your life. And Jesus goes, I want you to be secure. I want you to know who you are. You're a beloved son. You're a beloved daughter. Here he goes. If I had not come and spoken to them, Jesus says, they would not have been guilty of sin. But they no longer have any excuse for their sin. This is Romans 1 as well. They have no excuse for their sin. Because this is part as well, that Jesus is telling them the truth. He's telling them the truth, and they've got to decide, am I going to believe that and follow him as the truth, or am I not? Am I not and just going to ignore it? So he is talking about this whole idea that God is just. And that all will be judged before him. Even all the people who have decided to persecute his followers over and over and over again in so many different places. Do you know who they get to stand before? They get to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't want to be them on that day. And that's what Jesus wants them to remember. Do you understand? They're there because they're guilty. They're guilty of not believing, not trusting in my Father. And so I want you to know there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day. And Peter talks about it later. I want you to see this, okay? When he was maligned, talking about Jesus, he did not answer back. When he suffered, he threatened no retaliation, but did something. This is really important. This is what we do in the midst when we're suffering for the sake of the name of Jesus. But committed himself to God, who judges justly. That's how Peter looked at Jesus. That's what he did. Hey, guys, that's what we ought to do. We just commit ourselves to the God who judges justly and just say, okay, God's going to deal with this. That's hard. Because I will tell you what, if you have not figured it out yet, I'm going to let you in on a secret. The world isn't fair. I don't know where we started this. Come on, we can all be honest about this, right? If you've ever had a kid whine at you, and I do about every other Wednesday night, that life is not fair, right? Y'all get one snack and one drink. Well, that's not fair. There's extras. No, that's you got enough. No, but they got a bigger one than I did, right? Because they want everything equal. They want everything equal. And it's like, no. I will tell you, okay? If you want a fair world, fairness ended in the Garden of Eden. It ended. It ended there. It doesn't exist. So you got a choice at that point. We either complain about the world we live in, or we understand we follow a God who is so incredible, he will judge everything justly. Just say, I'm just going to commit myself to that. Because that means what? If this is an unfair world, we're going to be treated unfairly. People are going to take things from us. People are going to commit crimes against other people that will never get solved and never be dealt with, except for when? Before the throne of God, where he judges justly. And sometimes, I'm telling you what, as much as you'd like that person to say they're sorry, pay you back, to fix what got broken, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you never know who it is. And in those moments, you have to decide, am I going to really commit myself to the God who judges justly? Am I going to leave justice in his hand and ask him to help me to work through this time of being hurt, of being abused at times, of being taken from? Am I going to trust him that he will work all of this out? That he is in charge. And if nothing happens in this life, or even if there is some justice in life, God will judge justly all that has taken place. So, let me leave you this morning with a big picture. Why I think we struggle with this so much. I think we struggle with this because we've had different runoffs of Christians, been different Christian teaching that would like to talk about the abundant life that God wants to give us. This is John 10:10. This is what I will call the stealing of John 10:10, where all of a sudden that becomes now. Like, you ought to have a lot now. You should be given a lot now. And what we do is we take away the picture of the kingdom of God. That's all they're doing. They're stealing away the idea of the kingdom of God. Yes, does God give lots of wealth to somebody? Read the book of Job, okay? He did, took it all away, gave it back even double at the end. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely he does. But that's not like the core promise. And this is why I think we struggle with suffering, because there's been this string of thoughts that has not helped us understand that we are committed to Jesus and his kingdom. The kingdom of both the here, the now, and the coming. And so we get all tangled up in, well, this world. I want its riches. I want its stuff. And I'm going to show you what we do. We take away, I think what happens is we take a simple phrase. Okay? Paul wrote this. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. This is supposed to help us, because Paul just said, guys, this is my motto. He wrote this from prison. Why was he there? Because he stole something? No. He was there because he wouldn't stop preaching Jesus. He just wouldn't. Come on, Paul, just stop it. Okay? Stop it. And he ultimately ends up in Rome. He ultimately ends up before Nero, and Nero beheads him. So here's Paul writing to a church, one of his last letters, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because I want you to understand that. I know I'm sitting in prison. I am doing what God has asked. I am following that. Every moment I have, I live for Jesus. To die is gain. I think this has been stolen and concocted. And one of those things that you can go back to Genesis where Satan shows up and said, Eve, did God really say? I think this is one of those verses. I think this is one of those verses that can get flipped at times by wrong thinking and wrong theology, and it causes us not to understand the world in which you live. You ready for it? It's just a little flip. For me to live is gain, and to die is Christ. Just a little flip. We just flipped a word. Wait, come on, we just flipped a word. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? I should get all I can here because, you know, I've trusted Jesus, so I know what happened when I die. I'll go to heaven. It'll be all good. This is what, by the way, what is PGV? That means prosperity gospel version, okay? That's me having a little fun this morning, okay? That's just the version I'm going to give you. Because this is what I hear. This is what I hear out of guys wearing $10,000 suits and in $10 million mansions saying, this is what God wants for you on national TV shows. And I'm going, oh, no. Oh, no. What Bible are you reading? I think he's reading this one. It's going to just my take this morning, if you will. I think he's reading this one because it's gain. I should be able to gain. I should gain. I should gain. Yeah, and sometimes God does that, and we use that, and we give it back, and we watch God do amazing things with that. But when we think this way, what happens when there isn't gain? Oops. Now we think somehow God's not for us. God's not on our side. God's not with us. We've done something wrong. Maybe if I just have more faith. If I just have more faith, it would be better. If I just have more faith, maybe all of a sudden my job would be the one that makes, you know, $10,000 a day. That'd be awesome, right? And that'd be great. Maybe it's that problem. Because if all we focus on is the gain and Jesus is later, it will mess you up. It will mess you up. And I wonder how often this little change has crept into us. And that's what we started to believe about the world in which we live. So we try for gain instead of just committing our life to Christ and saying, would you work in a special way that every day I get up and I go to my job and I do that for Jesus and I go to school or wherever you happen to be, whatever you happen to be doing, I'm just living for Christ. Gains at the end. That's all been promised. Jesus says, you won't give up anything in my name that you won't get back hundreds of folds in my kingdom. He's already promised that. We don't have to worry about that. We just wake up every day. Today is another day to live for Christ and to see what he will do in my life. So you will suffer. You will suffer at some point. My question is, how are you going to respond to that? Now, we're getting ready to take communion this morning. I'm going to ask our two elders, Dave and Dan, to come up here and help us out. We'll do what we normally do, just invite you to come up and grab two cups, one with the bread in it, one with the juice in it. You can, I can tell you, don't be a member of this church. Just have to have trusted your life to Christ, and we encourage you to do that with us. Do you think while we do that, we celebrate the one who died in our place, rose again for our salvation, but who suffered, but who we can commit our life to, because every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. That's going to happen someday. That will happen someday. And we just need to be reminded of that. So would you take that cup and bread this morning, and then we will eat and drink together. We're going to do that understanding that he is the one who judges justly. He has suffered. He says, you know, in this world, that might be you. Just live for me. Live for me. Leave everything else up to me. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us around this table this morning as we take these two elements, the cup and the bread? We do so just overwhelmed that you again died in our place and rose again for our salvation. We don't need to come in with heads down, full of guilt and shame. You've done everything so that we can be forgiven and set free. May we walk in that. May we walk in that. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who experience exactly what we read at the beginning. They're in prison. Some are killed. Churches are burned down. Some are kidnapped. We're so fortunate to live here. Where does that happen? Doesn't mean it won't. We ask you to help us. How will we respond if it ever did? Wondering what's wrong with us? Or declaring that we were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus? I pray we would take the approach of the disciples. But Jesus, you prepared them for that day. The day they would be told to stop saying the name. And the day that they refused to stop saying the name. Would you work in our hearts and lives? We pray for these two elements this morning as we take and eat together. May you be honored in all that we do. May you be honored that we have given our hearts and lives to you. May you bless the cup and the bread. In Jesus' name, amen.